Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hut in the Clock.
It is Hut in the Clock here on 102.5 The Game. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Caroline on vacation this week. She's missing out on all the fun. I hope she's having fun on vacation. Mm-hmm. How could it beat working during this time in March Madness? This is an outstanding time of the year. The weather is great. Spring training, baseball, brackets are out. Predators on a roll. NFL free agency going. I mean, come on. Caroline, this better be one heck of a vacation. We are going to have a lot of questions when she returns next week. Willie Donick, Derek Mason here with you. Jonathan Hutton is up next with us. We're broadcasting from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Hutton, what's going on?
Willie, great to be on with you guys this week. D-Mace, hope things are well. I'm curious about your biggest upset in the bracket. I'm going to compare it to mine.
Hmm. Ooh, see, I have biggest not officially. Upset. I wait. I'm going to fill mine out tonight because in most challenges, you don't have to get the ones right. You can wait and see who wins the, you know, those 50-50 games. How about Virginia's performance last night, by the way? Nice job coming up with a 40-plus in the NCAA tournament. Man. You talk about rising up. Remember this guy, they lost to a 16 seed a couple years ago. Yes. Came back the next year and won the whole thing. And then they put up what did they end up with, 44 last night?
The best line I saw was Virginia basketball is college basketball's version of Iowa football.
Iowa football, that's right.
Yeah, pretty much so.
Those that watch Tennessee and Iowa in the bowl game can relate, for sure. And if you watched Iowa in the Big Ten championship game, yeah, they struggled to score as well. So
my biggest upset is Western Kentucky over Marquette. Am I stupid?
Okay. Why? I'll tell you what. I like Marquette. I've watched Marquette play. Now, they have to incorporate their star player.
They're banged up, too. Yeah.
They are banged up, and I think they're going to get their guy back. But the thing about Marquette, as I was watching them, they're still pretty good even without him. But I am intrigued about Western, I have to say. And that one... That was a great win for them because I know they have great fans up there. They love that team, and it's been a while since they've been in there. So I'd love to see that.
I think just one quick. Go ahead, Mace.
No. I was about to say my biggest upset. I think it will be. Do I want to go with that Kansas? That Kansas matchup. Kansas is beat up too. Kansas is a beat up team against Samford. Yeah. That's a game that I can see Samford winning.
I agree. I do think Kansas is very beatable, for sure. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
okay,
can
make
the
case for Western, though. That would be big. A 15 seed, or is it 14 or 15?
Just the fact
it's a 15. Marquette has got, and they've got Tyler Kolek is the guy that I'm talking about here. He's missed a few games here. Very good player. They think he's going to be, I guess you don't know, until I haven't looked recently to say this. And Western Kentucky's a pretty decent-sized dog here.
Well, and look, there's a couple of things that just stay on my mind. First, we've only seen a 15 win over the two 11 times. But haven't we seen it the last three tournaments?
It seems like every year it's more and more likely.
And I think the parity is greater, but the times I've watched Marquette, Willie, they have looked like crap. So,
okay.
Granted, one of those games is UConn.
Right. They've been destroyed by UConn a couple of times here.
Top of mind for me.
Yeah.
I can't help it there. I also want to point to, the same goes for Alabama with me. I'm taking Charleston in that game. Those are my two biggest upsets. And Withrow would agree with you guys, by the way, of Samford over Kansas.
Okay. And Charleston, that's a name to watch. Charleston, of course, going back years, has always been a really solid mid-major program. It's kind of like Belmont, and so their coach, you hear, is in the mix or could be in the mix for the Vanderbilt job. So that's another reason maybe to keep an eye on them.
That's good. Yes, and look, other than that, I'm going chalk for the most part. I'm going with the brands,
which is always dangerous.
Not necessarily one seeds, but when I say chalk, my final four is UConn, Arizona, Kentucky, and Purdue. I mean, I'm going with the teams that are traditionally there.
Arizona seems to be a team that there's a lot of skepticism on. So why do you like them?
Well, I just like their path. I love the story of Long Beach State, by the way, with their coach.
Oh, yeah. Dan Monson actually was the coach at Gonzaga years ago when they got started, mm-hmm. before they became a perennial. He was the guy that kind of got it started, and then he left, and Mark Few took over, and Mark Few's been there ever since. But Dan Monson is the coach, mm-hmm. at Long Beach State. He was basically – they agreed to mutually part ways – and yes. then they won the conference tournament.
They went on a 5-game losing streak. And they announced that he wasn't going to return. Then they went to the tournament and they won. They won the Big West, and the players just started playing for him. I mean, I guess that's good and bad. They got to that point, but I love. And then you know,
so do you rescind your do you rescind it? Like, okay, yeah, we're gonna fire him. We're not gonna fire him.
And he's been there like 17 years.
Yeah.
What is going to happen? That. Are they going to make up? Are they going to renew their vows?
I don't know. I mean, beat Arizona and they will. To me, that storyline is March Madness. That is made for that storyline there. And then Grand Canyon, too, is a cool one to root for. But I didn't pull the trigger there.
Mm. All right. Now that you brought up the brackets, Hutt, before we get into the football.
Yeah. Oh, I love this time of
year. Your perspective, because this gets thrown out there every year, and I sometimes try to remind Tennessee fans of what life was like for a long time when
they don't want to hear that, Willie. They don't want to hear it. No
they
more.
Don't want to hear it, but I try to – I'm just trying to balance the discussion sometimes, mm-hmm. when you get this really one-sided, Barnes can't win in the tournament. We got to get rid of Barnes. He can't win. We can't do well in the tournament.
Well, he can't.
But – making the Sweet 16 is nothing to sneeze at. It's hard. Just like when people would say, Kevin Stallings, you gotta hear Kevin Stallings. Why do we have Kevin Stallings? He can't be. How good does Kevin Stallings' tenure look now?
Oh my.
When you compare it to what has happened since, right? And so just try to keep a level head when you come out with these, quote, hot takes. But that being said, what kind of pressure is on Rick Barnes in this tournament with this team that he's got?
I think there is. I mean, this is his best team, in my opinion. Dalton Knecht. I mean, he's a guy that can carry you to a Final Four. I mean, he's an NBA player playing in college basketball. He's 23, playing against the average NBA player who's 19 or 20 in their rookie season. So, I mean, I look at that, plus the way they have played, played defense. I mean, they can make the run. And the ride that the fans have been on, I don't blame them for having extremely high expectations, considering where they were prior to Rick Barnes, but how things have been built and what we've seen this season against good competition. And you know, we've seen them head-to-head against the top teams, and some of them anyway. And I what was a great conference run for them and for several of the SEC schools that have, you know, ever since Greg Sankey mandated that the teams and programs are going to get better at basketball and invest in coaching. I mean, the coaching in the league is extraordinary. With that being said, though, Willie, like the Sweet 16 run, getting past like St. Peter's, Kentucky's got to be looking at that draw going, hey, we know about that, the 15 versus the 2. And then on top of that, Willie, I don't know. Texas.
I don't think Texas is great. I really don't. I
don't. But just that you – Some buy this, some don't. You know the committee is looking at this in the second round for Rick Barnes. And on top, to me, that's it's the expectation of winning in the tournament, which, I mean, across the board has not been good. What, 2 Elite Eights in his career, in what's been a great career? It's time to take this team to be a great team. They need to get past the Sweet 16.
Okay.
We've seen that. And that to me is a fair expectation for a team that has been among the teams that you would expect to be there all season long.
I like their path. Like, it's going to be a big...
I do, too.
The St. Peter's... Look, we know about St. Peter's. Mm-hmm. Kentucky fans are still having the cold sweats just hearing the name St. Peter's. Oh, St. Peter's. Whoa. Flashbacks. But they should be fine against that. Come on. And then Texas, it's an interesting story because Rick Barnes was at Texas for a long time. But if you look at Texas' team, I really think Tennessee will D them up. I like their path to the Sweet 16. Creighton is the interesting one to me because you hear the name Creighton. It doesn't, like, install fear in you.
They've turned it on.
They're really good. They have beaten UConn. Like, they they can beat big time teams. That would be interesting. But all things said, I think their path to the Elite Eight is doable there. I think they would be favored in all of the games, right? As long as they don't have the big just lay the egg. That's the nightmare. Like when they had the game in Nashville last week where they just couldn't throw it in the ocean, the Tennessee fans are like, see, we do this every year, right? And that is a painful reminder that can happen.
So and we've seen how they've played. We've seen how they played like out of the last two games. Yeah, mm-hmm. The Kentucky game is different than the way they played against Mississippi State, of course. But it's just the two losses, not the same, but the starts to the game and then how the Mississippi State game went. You know, they need to come out ready to go. And look, Dalton Connect is the sharpshooter and the player, the smooth player that can just take over the entire tournament. He can be the face of the tournament this year. Everyone's going to point to Zach Edey. He can be that guy.
Yeah, he can. Looking at this, you know, because you said you believe this is the best team that Rick Barnes has had. I tend to think the team with Schofield, what was that, the 17-18 team?
Okay.
They end up losing. Yep. No, it was the the 18-19 team when they end up losing the Sweet 16 to Purdue.
Right.
End up losing
in overtime.
I thought that team, to me, was the best team that Rick Barnes has had. What differs this team from that team? Why do you think? Is it just Dalton Connect?
Because him, but
they had, you know, Williams on their team who was an NBA player, and they had some really good guys on that
way
team.
Different. Uh-huh. This guy's way different. I think the missing piece, Mace, over the last couple of seasons has been they've been swapping up who's going to be that guy to take the shot. Mm-hmm. You know, create the shot and be the guy. Hit the dagger. They've got that dude. Mm-hmm. And then they have Mayshak coming off the bench who can D up. I mean, I love his aggression and defense. They can play and win different ways. Unlike, again, I mentioned Bama. Their defense is just not there. Tennessee can play that type of game. They need some inside play consistently. Mm-hmm. But they also have to get the shots. They've got to get the touches inside. And I think they can do that too. They can manufacture the inside game when they want to. Sometimes they don't get the shots. If you look at some of the games that they've lost, the inside game is not necessarily on the stat sheet popping out to you. You know, four attempts, five attempts. They need to find some rhythm in that area. But I think the difference for me is yes, it's Dalton. It starts with Dalton Connect. And again, I just go back to the age of some of these players now due to the COVID year.
The older guys.
Older guys, but 23 years old and first team All-American, AP. I mean, that is the X factor. And he watching him, he has such a rhythm and flow, and there's a smooth part of his game that I don't think that year in and year out they've had that type of player. And he's just different. He makes this team different.
5 full years of college basketball. 5 full years mm-hmm. for Vescovy, Josiah Jordan-James, all with Tennessee.
So it's a more veteran-led team. But then you add Dalton Connect in it, that makes it even much better team.
By the way, still, I don't think that was the right thing to do in retrospect. Nothing we can do about it now, but giving everybody all the extra years because they missed the tournament the one year. That just it's and not right. It's not fair to all the kids that were in high school at the time that are getting log jammed because of this. Like I see Tyron Lawrence is in the transfer portal.
That's a great point.
He's still allowed to play. I mean, how many years are we giving people? It's ridiculous.
I'm sorry to hit the different topics here, but you mentioned the portal. Ridiculous that the portal opened up on Monday.
Come on. It's so dumb.
I mean, you have assistant coaches in the tournament right now that are worried about the portal. I mean, in my opinion, you've got the coaches who are saying that they're not going to the NIT because they'd rather focus on the portal to improve their team than actually go play in the NIT. It is so stupid that they have the transfer. Move it back. There's a 45-day window. Move it back to the Final Four. Like that week, whatever you want to do when these teams are out and the Final Four teams are in there, who cares? But you have all of these different coaches that are focused on Thursday, Friday, and on Monday, the day after you get the bracket, the portal's open. It's just so stupid.
I completely agree. So Tennessee, a lot of pressure here. Mm-hmm. Do they get to the Final Eight? Because Here, like to me, after it was over last year, when they beat Duke, I mean, beat Duke mm-hmm. and went yep. to the Sweet 16 with Ziegler getting the ACL, right?
Yes, yes.
And knowing that they hit a wall in their season last year, mm-hmm. right? Even though they were, what, number one, number two, everybody thought, okay, this is the one. And then they really slumped at the end of the season. Going into the tournament, if I'd told at every Tennessee fan, you're going to beat Duke and make the Sweet 16 without Ziegler, would you have taken it? That was my question, even though they got beat in the Sweet 16. So if I pose the same question now, let's say they lose to Purdue in the Elite Eight. Is that a good season for Tennessee basketball? Or is that, disappointing, a failure, which a lot of people to say. It's a failure. They didn't win at all. It's a failure.
I think that's over the top, of course. It's a good season. But I think that in retrospect, it's not if you lose, it's how you lose.
Okay.
And, yeah, and that does matter for Rick Barnes. If guys are just missing open shots, to me, that's not on Rick Barnes. If they go cold and they're open and they're just not on, that's not a Rick Barnes. However, it's time to make sure that the mindset and the team is locked in and ready to go. This team can do that. This team can be a Final Four team. I think that's the difference in the mindset of the fans, which is fair. Not if you lose, but how you lose. And if you go out and lay an egg against Purdue after seeing them head to head, and seeing how this team played against them previously, yeah, I mean, to me, it's a different feeling on how that game goes. It's not just if you lose in the Elite Eight. I mentioned just get past the Sweet 16 and then see what happens. And if you have an easier path than that, then I think the expectations go up even more.
Now, Hutt, let's switch to a little football here.
Yeah,
obviously, the Titans, there are several different topics we can go here, but I'm going to go the draft. The Titans have the 7th pick. Obviously, everybody knows that. They need a tackle. They need just about everything. Should they, because now there's talk of them potentially moving out of the 7th, moving down. First question, should they move out of the 7th pick? And then if they do, how far down can they go?
Well, it depends on, number one, how many first rounders do you actually have graded in this group? And I think, okay, I'm spitballing here. I wouldn't move as far down. I wouldn't move past a spot where you think Brock Bowers is going to be drafted. To me, that's you have to leave with at least Brock Bowers. And
is that because you have the potential of getting him, or you think, well, the next team, if we get above them, then we know at least the next team below us will be drafting more than likely a Bowers.
Well, I mean, like, to me, like, just spit the 11th pick right now is Minnesota, correct? Mm-hmm. I think that's right. They've had two first rounders. And you have the 7th pick. If they're really high on J.J. McCarthy, like people are talking about, that would be either the 3rd or the 4th quarterback off the board. And you're sitting at 7. To me, if that's the range that Minnesota would get unless they want to jump ahead and go to, like, Arizona range at number 4. If you're at 7 and McCarthy's there and he's – beloved by a couple of teams, they're in a great spot to move back. You're going to get multiple picks. You're setting yourself up for the future, which is what they should be doing right now. Passing on an elite player, comparing Alt, for instance, who in many mock drafts is available at 7, comparing Alt to future left tackles that you can go and draft in the first round in 2025. I haven't heard that discussion. Again, they've got to have a guy. They've got to have their guys. They develop Will Levis. That struggle of, do we grab the franchise left tackle or do we grab future first round picks and other franchise players and allow a team to jump up and get a quarterback? That's the only way I'm trading down, is if a team is coming up for a quarterback. I'm not trading down for any other position that are come through with offers, because you're not going to get the same haul and the same return and the overpay that teams do year in and year out for the position, Mace. How far can you go down? Mm-hmm. I'd say you've got to be in the top 11, top 12. Because when I say Bowers, I'm saying they draft Bowers. You can't leave without Brock Bowers. And I don't know where he slots in, maybe later than that. But the need for tight end is, to me, secondary to what we're seeing at wide receiver and what we're seeing at offensive tackle, personally. And that's as far down as I would go, just based on the type of player that I would be looking for.
All right, we're going to workshop this thing as we get closer. There's plenty of time to strategize, because I do think this is a big thing that could go down to the wire on, I mean, actually minutes before their pick, right? Actually thinking
right,
about
but just this. Briefly, that day, like the A.J. Brown trade was negotiated at noon on the day of the draft.
Wow. You wouldn't surprise me if you told me it was even later in the afternoon than that.
Yeah, but it was started around noon.
Okay.
But the money was there. I'm talking about just the actual trade, because you're going through scenarios. And right. Teams don't necessarily know. They can't just assume that players are going to. But they do have to go through kind of their own mocks to figure out who they would go after and when. Mm-hmm. And that's whenever the phone would be buzzing quite a bit. Like that, it is down to the wire, because you go through scenarios and you have to figure out what you're willing to give up for the future in order to go get your guy and how much you love that guy.
At any time, did Mike Vrabel stand on the table and say, do not do this from noon until the time they actually did this?
Well, Willie, that's why I say, like, the idea that he didn't know. I mean, the money itself has to be negotiated. You're not trading for A.J. Brown unless you know he's going to sign a long-term deal. And you're not doing that within the 10 minutes that the Titans are on the clock. And the Titans aren't just deciding they're going after Treylon Burks in 4 minutes or whenever they make the trade official. You know, like, that takes a lot more time. The decision makers in that room knew what was going down whenever the video hit and Robinson was on the phone. And if they didn't like it, if Amy didn't like it, she wouldn't let him on the phone. She's sitting right there.
It is a big moment in history, for sure.
Yes.
Hutt, we'll talk again next week. Enjoy the tournament. We'll see how our brackets are doing 1 week from today.
The ball is tipped. One shot home.
There you go. Jonathan Hutton joining us here. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. When we come back, I want to continue with this question of, what do you think for Tennessee? If I told you they're going to make the Elite Eight and then lose to either Purdue or somebody else, what would you think? Good season or very disappointing failure? What word would you use? 615-737-1025. Let us know. Our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can do the old-fashioned phone call, too. We'd love to hear from you. Jump on in. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more here on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace.
Him going, if you're Rick Barnes and this coaching staff offensively, and I guess secondarily to that, how important do you think it is that they do get him going this time of year?
It's important. I mean, can they win without it? Maybe, but it makes it a lot easier if they have him. You know, it's in terms of what they do, I don't know that they have any more ideas. I mean, they've tried, you know, Love. They've tried Tough Love. They've tried showing him videos of all the shots he's made at Tennessee, which is like, what, a billion threes that he's made during his career with Tennessee. They've tried everything, and it's just, for some reason, it just has been that kind of year where he's had a couple moments, but he really dedicated himself to being a different kind of player once they got connect. And it's like, okay, buddy, good job kind of accepting your different role, but you still got to make some shots. And so, yeah, I mean, the concerning thing for me is that State was the first team, I think, all season that really kind of left him out there. Other teams all year long have still kind of rushed him off the line or been really tight on him because they still were worried about what he could do. State was kind of like, here, you can have those shots if you want them. And he didn't make them. And that is problematic. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm out of options or out of ideas there at this point.
All right, that's Wes Rucker talking Tennessee basketball, laying it out for you. We had a couple people on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Cameron, if Barnes doesn't make the Elite Eight, he needs to be fired. Okay. That would be losing in the Sweet 16, let's say to Creighton or South Carolina. Crazier things have happened. Fired? I don't think so. Now, that would be disappointing. I will say this. I do think – I disagree with you, Derek. I do think this is the best Tennessee team for the reasons that Hutton laid out there. They're older players. Yeah. They've played a lot of NCAA tournament games. They have the difference-making player who can put the team on his back. They've got more length with a guy like Adu. They still have great defense. And I think they are a better shooting team than they have shown during the season. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you are what you are, right? You are what your stats say you are, and that is not an elite three-point shooting team especially, right? They're not a great shooting team. They're 135 in effective field goal percentage. Mm-hmm. They're 161 in three-point field goal percentage. So it's not a super efficient offensive team. It's a good offensive team altogether, but you know, on a particular day, as you saw in Nashville last week, they can go cold. But I think they have a lot of good shooters.
Yeah, I wonder what that 17-18 team, where did they rank in regards to shooting?
We can look it up. Let's see. The 2018-19 team.
Williams.
31-6. They were that year that you're talking about where they lost to Purdue in overtime in the Sweet 16, and they were the 10th best team. They were third in offense for the season, 18th in effective field goal percentage, which is your two-point field goal percentage and three put together, basically, ranked 18th in the country, 63rd in three-point shooting, so better than this year, and a better two-point shooting team. So overall, a better shooting team. So that's your argument.
I just thought that team was better shooting. It was just something, and not to say that this year's team doesn't have an attitude. But that 17-18 team, they had an attitude.
Oh, yeah. Grant Williams.
They were physical. Like, they were physical. They had an attitude. They had
Schofield
a presence
attitude
about
sure.
them. You know, they were not as big as the team is now. And obviously, they were not as veteran as the team is now. But that team was a better shooting team. But not just that, they had a different attitude. It seems like they had more of a nasty, dirty attitude about them. Dirty in a good way, but it was just, you knew, like, you were going to get a physical game every time you played against UT, whether it be on the offensive end or the defensive end.
Another texter, Kevin, says, Barnes has a losing record in the tournament. Okay. You just take that on the surface. It doesn't sound great, but just remember, you got to get to the Sweet 16 to have a winning record in the tournament in 1 year. So if you go to the Sweet 16, most people would think that's a pretty good year. You're 2-1 in the tournament. So it's not like you're 5-0 and you pile up this great winning record. So the record in the tournament is a little deceiving. Like you could lose in the first round a couple times, win in the first round, lose in the second round, and your record is something like 3-4. But you've made the tournament. The thing is, when you make the tournament every year, you're going to have a lot of different pathways. And I will admit that Barnes hasn't had a great track record in the tournament. Not as good as he needs to, probably. But I think it's a little overblown, right? It's the knock on him. But there have been plenty of coaches who had that knock on him for a long time and then broke through. So I don't think the past performance means that the future performance is going to be settled. You know, I just don't think that there's this, at least to me, on Barnes, sitting there going, I don't know how to win in the tournament. I don't think that's true.
Do I think he gets fired or he's even on the hot seat if, say, they don't reach at least the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight? No. But from a fan base standpoint, I mean, they're going to be upset because they're going to have the same argument for them is the same argument and stance you and Hutton have, and probably a lot of other people. This is the best team that you've had since you've been here. It's not the 17-18 team, which is really, really good. It's this year's team, the 23-24 team. This is the best team that you have. And if you can't get at least the Elite Eight with this team, then there are going to be fans that say, man, Rick just can't do it. I mean, you know, he's taken us as far as we can go as a program. Has he done some really good things? Absolutely, he's done some really good things. Is he a really good coach? Absolutely, he's a really good coach. But as we know, Willie, even good coaches get fired.
That's true.
You know, and because it's like, okay, you've gotten us to that point. We need somebody else that can sort of get us over the hump.
I've been that guy.
And who is that guy? You don't know.
That's the thing. I've been that guy every summer saying spring, post-tournament, the post-mortems, when everybody's upset, saying, okay, you know, fire the coach. Who are you going to get that's done that will do better, right? Or are the chances of breaking through better sticking with Barnes or starting over with somebody completely different? Now, if he retires or something, that's a different thing. But firing the coach, if he wants to come back, you've got a formula that's putting you in the game, in the picture, in contention most years here.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mess with that in terms of firing the coach. Now, be frustrated, be disappointed, okay. But pulling the plug on it, that's a whole nother thing.
But here's another thing, Willie.
He has lost the game in every tournament. Fire him, Opie. Thank you, wow. Opie. Is that Opie? Opie Taylor calling?
Opie?
Opie's usually pretty even-keeled, level-headed kid. He's lost the game in every tournament. Fire him!
Here's the thing with UT is that, and you've spelled it out, you as well as Hutt. This team, the players that they have that they count on are guys that have been there 4 or 5 years. They're going to be gone.
Some of these guys find a way to get another year of eligibility?
They may. I don't know.
A hardship.
But
for
all intents and purposes,
graduate school.
Kinect, who's their best scorer, he's gone. You have Vestavi. He's gone.
I think he's gone.
He may be gone. Yeah.
Josiah Jordan James.
Josiah Jordan James is gone. Ziegler has another year, right?
I think so.
Ziegler may have another year. So you've taken a bulk of your scoring, and they're leaving. So what is your team going to look like next year? That's why people are looking at this season as, if they're going to win it, this season is the best chance for them to win it.
I agree.
Because they're going to be a vastly different team next year.
I do think this is his best shot. And I think he'll find a way to be good next year. That's the thing about
Barnes. He'll be good next year, but will he be in a position to win it all next year?
I don't know. But that's the thing about Barnes is he's connected. Uh-huh. He knows how to get players. And he puts you in contention. Mm-hmm. That's not the case at a lot of places. Didn't used to be the case in Tennessee before he got there. Kevin hits us on the text line with this one. It's a good one. Roy Williams, quote, couldn't get the job done at Kansas. Lots of Final Fours, a few championship game losses, and, of course, some bad exits as number one seed.
First round exits.
Yeah. Or a bad Sweet 16 loss as a one seed. I can remember picking them and being very disappointed as they bowed out well before the Final Four.
But then he leaves, Bill Self comes in, he wins championships.
Yeah, but Roy Williams did shake the tag when he went to North Carolina.
Yeah,
he ended up winning a championship
there.
And he won multiple championships at UNC. So you can outgrow that tag even later in your career, as Roy Williams did, and that's what Rick Barnes is trying to do.
Yeah.
Right? So, all right, we'll come back to this. We've got a lot of people weighing in on the text line. And speaking of that, don't forget, during the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to give away tickets to the Predators Golden Knights game on Tuesday night by giving us the best name for this line that's been tearing it up. The blue collar line.
We got some really good candidates here.
We're going to go over
down
this.
To nine.
Ooh. You got nine? Okay, I've scribbled a few down myself.
Nine solid ones.
Okay.
A pair of tickets to see the Predators and the Golden Knights Tuesday. We've got this group of three players that are blue collar underdogs. They all make about the league minimum. I think of Tom Berenger in the movie Major League, Jake Taylor. They're like, oh, how much money do you make? I hear baseball players make a lot of money these days. I make the league minimum. That's these guys, right? They weren't handed anything, but they are really setting the tone. They provide the energy. They're inspiring. They're the starting lineup. It's fun, but they need a nickname. So that's what we're looking for during the 1 o'clock hour. Text us, 615-737-1025. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And text us your thoughts on Tennessee and how much pressure there is on what would be a good season. How disappointing would it be if they do not make the Final Four or the Final Eight, wherever you think that line is. We'll have another segment on that coming back. Stay tuned. We've got more coming on 102.5 The Game. All right. Wrapping up the second hour. During the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to go hard and heavy into giving away some tickets to the Predators Golden Knights game coming up on Tuesday. We need a nickname. We need a nickname for the line. We don't do this lightly, okay? It's always like a line gets together for like two or three games, has a couple games. You're like, let's give them a line. Let's give them a name. We usually hold off on that because it's hard to keep three guys together for a long time. A lot of times guy gets hurt, you break up the line. This one has done it long enough now.
They deserve a name.
It has enough of a thing going that I think they deserve and they're worthy of a nickname. We just haven't come up with the right one. We're just
we'll come up on the broadcast.
We're like, there's those three guys. There's that line again. What,
Mama, there's those men again.
There goes that man. There goes those guys.
There goes those guys again.
So we've had some great submitted texts here on our text line. WilsonCountyHyundai.com is the sponsor. Keep them coming. And to the best one, we're going to give you tickets to see the Predators and the Golden Knights, which is a huge game next Tuesday night. The crowds have been great. Awesome stuff. So be a part of it. Weigh in. Call in. Make your case. I mean, that might influence us, right, Nick?
Yeah.
I mean, you've been monitoring this, but you can make a passionate speech next hour.
Thank you for saying that, Willie. You know, this is sports radio. And
yeah.
When you call in and you give a more compassionate type answer, I'm going to be honest. It's going to be a three-person panel here to decide, and we might be influenced on the way you describe
it. Yeah. Yeah. It's better to hear your voice and hear your passion when you say it than to read it. Even though we love reading it, we've gotten some good ones now. We've gotten some good ones, so keep them coming.
Okay.
Because they deserve a name. This line deserves a name.
And always we've got the coverage here of the Predators on 102.5 The Game, 106.3 The Game. And remember also this week, NCAA tournament coverage is brought to you by Toyota. Ready, set, go. Get your Toyota today at toyota.com. All right, let's get a few more opinions here on Rick Barnes and Tennessee. I think they're going to be okay against St. Peter's. What do you think? There'll be a ton of, what do you want to say, hoopla if they play Texas in the second round. And
of course.
You know, Texas has to get by a Colorado State team that looked really good last night. And how many times have we seen it? Starting with Shaka Smart and VCU back in the day.
Yeah.
Where they won that play-in game was a relatively new thing, right? That first four. Next thing you know, they're in the final four. So winning that first game can give you momentum. And so I don't think Texas is a shoe-in to beat Colorado State, even though I have to be honest, I have not watched Colorado State, but they looked good last night. They smoked Virginia.
Well,
but I mean, I like Tennessee's draw, though, all that to say.
Yeah, obviously, if you look at, I mean, Creighton could be a possibility if Tennessee gets that far. And I got Creighton beating both Akron and South Carolina because I got South Carolina beating Oregon. So that could be a matchup for UT. I don't think too highly of Kansas. They too many injuries. This team is limping into the tournament, and that's what you don't need to be doing is limping into the tournament, and they are. So I'm not looking for them to advance. I think that could be a potential upset, Kansas and Samford. But even if they get past Samford, I think that next game, whether it be against Gonzaga, Mid-East State, is going to be tough for them. But I do believe, other than Purdue, this is a good draw for UT. Not to say if they approach every game like they approach the UK game, then I can see them getting to at least the Elite Eight.
Here's a text.
Because they will face more than likely, if Purdue does what they're supposed to do, they end up facing Purdue in the Elite Eight.
Here is how I would define my question. This is how we started this conversation. If I told you that they lost in the final eight, if you're a Tennessee fan, and I tell you they're going to lose in the final eight to Purdue, how would you feel? My answer to that would be, if I were a Tennessee fan, I would be disappointed, but I would still feel good about the season after a couple of days. If they lost in the Sweet 16, I think that would sting more so than last year for sure, and probably – more so than most years, even though I try to keep an even keel and tell you that it's nothing to sneeze at. Making the Sweet 16 is hard, mm-hmm. no matter how good of a team you've built. But that said, it would sting if they lose before the Final Eight. And I do think that this team can get to the Final Four. This mm-hmm. is the team that has the elements of getting to the Final Four.
Well, I mean, you're talking from a rational.
Yeah, I'm outside. This is yeah, it's easier for me to say it. I don't know if I'm emotionally attached at all to
exactly.
this team.
Exactly, and yeah. I'm sure there's a group of Tennessee fans that think from a rational standpoint when it comes to the Vols, and if they make it to the Elite Eight, they're like, okay, that was a good run by Rick Barnes. We hated that we lost, but when I say we, I'm talking from the standpoint of the Vol fans. We got to the Elite Eight. We expected to go further, but you know, we got Elite Eight, and say we UT loses to Purdue. Well, you lost to a number one seed.
Right.
You know, one of the best teams in college basketball with, we assume, was going to be the player of the year once again, Edie. So if you lose in the final Elite Eight, like Hutt said, how do you lose?
Yeah, that, I think
how
that's
do
the
you?
Thing.
If it's a close game, back and forth, and you Buzzer end up losing beater. By, yeah. you know, the last second shot, something like that, then okay. Maybe UT fans can live with that. But if you advance to the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16 and you look like you did in the first round of the SEC tournament, then I think they'll have problems.
Yeah, no question. All right, we're going to follow this for sure. When we come back, we'll get back to the matter at hand here. And we've got some great submissions. Nick Frazier is going to sift through and start naming off some of these, but we want to give away tickets. Let's see if we can get a true identity for this line. Kiefer Sherwood, Michael McCarron, Cole Smith. The blue-collar line that's been starting every game, except for the first one, mm-hmm. for the Predators during this 15-game point streak, which ties a franchise record. 13-0-2 in the last 15. They have outscored the opponent 65-29 mm-hmm. during this buzzsaw time here. And these guys really set the tone. So what's the name of this line? We got to come up with something. That's coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.